Good morning. I'm Paul Bond, one of the pastors on the pastoral team here at Bethel Church. And it's great to be with you this morning, to be able to worship together on this Memorial Day holiday weekend. Thank you for being here. What a privilege it is to be able to bring the Word of God today. We're going to be studying the book of Psalms, chapter 23. In fact, Psalm 23 is probably the most popular scriptures in the whole Bible that people recognize. Maybe you've memorized it as a child. But it's also very popular because usually at memorial services, there will be a reading of Psalm 23. So we're going to dig into that this morning. But before we do that, I would like to ask you to join me for just 1 minute of silence and silent prayer to remember those heroes, men and women, for over two centuries that have died and sacrificially for our freedoms and our military around the world. They are to be honored today on Memorial Day. Sometimes we forget that, but I just want to lift up our prayers to them and their families, those who have laid down their lives to keep us free. You see, freedom really isn't free. There's a cost to it, and the cost is the lives of our servicemen and women that die in their duty. So would you please join me in a silent prayer? And so, Heavenly Father, thank you for those who have, for two centuries, have guarded and protected our nation, that you have mightily blessed. Lord, you have blessed this nation incredibly. We owe you everything. We're so grateful. And Lord, for those who have called to become soldiers, airmen, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, National Guard, that have laid down their lives to protect this nation's liberties and our Constitution, to keep us free. We thank you for them and their ultimate price that they had to pay. But also, Lord God, we're very mindful that you laid down your life for your sheep, for us. And we thank you for that, Lord God, that you loved us so much, you cared so much and deeply for us, that you laid down your life that we may have everlasting life. For those who have trusted you as Savior, Lord God, have the eternal hope of eternal life with you. You are, as we are going to read in Psalm 23, our great shepherd. Thank you for being our leader, our guider, our healer, our nurturer. You feed us. You give us the spiritual water to refresh our souls. Lord, you are our provision, and you are our great protector. Thank you for being our God. And Lord, as we stand before you now, it's our duty to be able to share our lives with others about what you've done in our life, as you have given us all the spiritual blessings in our lives. And so we are to share the gospel to all that we hear. We are to give you glory through our lives, which you so deserve. So this morning, Lord God, as we dig into this fabulous Psalm 23, as King David is reflecting on the provision and the confidence that he had in you, looking back on his life, regarding that, Lord God, you were his shepherd throughout his whole life, as you are for us as well. So, Lord, please, may the Holy Spirit open our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us individually, as we not only learn about this passage, but we understand its applications for our daily life. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I have some props up here, some good things that we're going to be sharing. So if you would turn with me, if you wouldn't mind, to Psalm 23, we're going to read that together. So David is saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare my table before my in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever." As we're looking at this psalm, which is very well known, it's the most probably well-known psalm, but also maybe Old Testament verse other than John 3:16 that we know. And most of the time when we're at memorial services, it's red. In fact, I just read it the other day. In fact, last weekend, Pat Gwynn, our dear sister in Christ here at Bethel Church, passed away. She was 90 years old. She was a prayer warrior. And so she asked me before she died if I would read Psalm 23 at her memorial, which we did. You know, the images that we have in our 21st century, we have access to internet. We are a community of marketing and visual learners. And so the images are very, very common in our 21st century in America, but very powerful for describing or showing things that we daily live around in our American culture. Things that we instantly recognize. For instance, this is an image. We all know what it is. It's a fireman's hat. But 200 years ago, if you wore this, would they really understand and know what that was? Of course not. But today, it's just part of our life. We understand when we put this on or when you see somebody wearing it, they're a fireman. And also, a pilot's helmet. Well, we have pilot's helmets for either helicopters or jet pilots, and we understand that. If we saw somebody with this wearing this, we would know that they were a pilot of some sort. Now, if you wore this even 100 years ago, they would not recognize what this was. Because even flight's been around for over 100 years, they used to just wear little leather helmets. But this is unique. And so in our 21st century, we understand the powerful image that this protrudes. Excuse me one moment, I got a call here. Hey Susan, how's it going? This really isn't a good time. No, I'm standing up here preaching. Yeah, okay, I'll get back with you later. Okay, bye. This is another image that we're very familiar with in the 21st century, aren't we? We see people all over the place on their phone. When we're in the restaurants, when you're in the car, when you look over at the guy next to you in a car or the lady and they're texting while they're trying to drive like this. And this is just a common scene in our culture. We understand it very well. But there's something that King David was relaying to us as the illustration, the psalmist, who was a shepherd himself, but he was also a king. David uses the powerful images of a shepherd to describe the Lord God as his caregiver, as his leader, his feeder, his nurturer, his guider, his protector, his healer, and his provision. And so for this morning, this image in the 11th century BC, but also in the first century with Jesus, they would have recognized a shepherd and a staff instantly, along with the flocks of sheep. So the figure of speech David uses for the Lord God as a shepherd is very, very familiar, very common, powerful image for thousands of years in the ancient Near East and in Israel. From David to the time of Jesus, shepherds and flocks were all over the landscape. In the mainstream of everyday life, they understood it, they saw it. The same way that our culture with cell phones and with jet pilot helmets and fireman's helmets and shopping malls are very familiar and common to us. Almost everywhere in the Bible world, one would gaze across the landscape. As you were walking, they didn't have vehicles, or you were riding a camel or a donkey, to see flocks of sheep and their protective shepherds that were taking care daily of their needs. From the time of the American culture in the 21st century, we really truly don't understand the shepherd-sheep culture, unless you happen to be a sheep herder yourself. Typically, the closest we ever get to sheep are at a petting zoo, where we take our children and we pet the little lambs, and they're so cute, and we want to just hug them and carry them. But apart from that, do we really understand what a shepherd did every day with those sheep as they guided them and protected them and fed them and watered them and healed them? We're with them to provide safety and comfort on the paths. David's description of the Lord would have naturally resonated with the people that he was communicating with in Psalm 23. They would have totally gotten it. They would have totally understand the applications David was writing in Psalm 23, so we would clearly understand. But in the 21st century, it is not really understood in our American culture, because rarely, if ever, do Americans have the opportunity to witness the work of a genuine shepherd with the sheep as he tends to his flocks daily. We understand the images maybe on the screen, but do we really understand what they did? And that's what we're going to examine Psalm 23 to find out exactly what David is talking about when he's talking about the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to invite my two friends, Blake and Micah to come up here. They're going to build us something pretty neat. They're going to build a protective sheep barrier, which would have been typical in the near Middle East as they were building these temporary shelters to keep their sheep from straying. As both shepherd and king, David was uniquely qualified to describe the comparisons of the Lord God as his personal shepherd and caretaker of the sheep. Why? Because as a shepherd himself, he had to take care of the flocks of sheep. He knew very well what that meant. David knew extremely well from personal experience as a shepherd how a shepherd must become the leader of the sheep. He must provide for them, feed them, guide them, heal them, nurture them, carry them, protect his sheep from harm and anybody that would want to harm this sheep. As David reflects on his life, being both a shepherd and a king, it is most probable that he wrote this beautiful poetic psalm, which was also actually a song of confidence, written later on in David's life. He's reflecting back on his life, and he's recognizing that God, as the great shepherd, was caring and guiding and leading him, nurturing him through his whole life. And so his beautiful prose is showing that, reflecting on the totality of his life and the undeniable grace and love and guidance of the Lord as he shepherded King David personally. So here's the image. The biblical ancient Middle East, here's the pasture, here's the flocks of sheep, but here's the shepherd. He lived with the flock. He didn't just go get the time out on his time card and then go home. He had to stay with the sheep all day, all night. Through a lifetime of shared experiences, the shepherd nurtured the relationship and trust that he had with his sheep, and the sheep trusted him. In fact, as we see the lamb and being born into the wilderness, the shepherd would take this trembling, brand new baby lamb into his hands. He would warm it. He'd have to warm it to keep the blood flowing for the little lamb, otherwise they could die. He would caress it. So among the first sensations of the little lamb would have been the gentle hands of the shepherd bringing him into the world. And the first sounds heard by the little lamb would have been the gentleness of the shepherd's voice. Very much like you and I, with Jesus as our Lord and shepherd. He brings us into spiritual life as brand new infant babies, spiritually. And then he cares for us. We hear the sound of our shepherd, Jesus. And we understand his voice. As a matter of fact, many years ago, when I was a pastor on San Juan Island, it's an island off of Washington, and we lived in San Juan County, and every year they had the San Juan County Fair. It was a very old-fashioned fair. And they used to have a sheep calling contest. And I remember our church had a food booth, and we were selling food. I heard this, yip, 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 all these weird sounds. I was like, what is that? Well, they were having a sheep calling contest. And so these shepherds had flocks of sheep. What they did is they corralled all the sheep, they mixed them up, and then each shepherd had to give their call. And it was like, you, you, you. And so the sheep understood their shepherd's voice. And the sheep would go, meh, and they'd come right to their shepherd. It was really neat to watch. Even though there was different calls going out, those sheep recognized their shepherd's voice and they went right to him. So the first one that got all their sheep with them, they won the big blue ribbon prize. So it was a lot of fun. Well, the shepherd lived with the lambs for the entirety of their lives. Day in, day out, the shepherd would guide the flocks to green pastures and the freshest pools of water. They would water them and they would pasture them. They would care for them. They would guide them, protect them year in and you're out to safety. So the little lambs, they started to grow up into lambhood or to ramhood. They would know the sound of the shepherd's call. They would respond, knowing that the shepherd was leading them to the best pastures for food and for the best water to drink, but also for safety on the journey as he would guide them and lead them safely to the place where they were going with the ultimate guiding love and tenderness and care and trust. Each sheep came to rely on the shepherd to know his voice and his alone. And so they followed him and no one else. Isn't it true too? As David is writing this psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. that David was really writing about the future of the Messiah, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Did he really know that what he was talking about as he was writing? No, he probably didn't. But yet it reflects on our Master Jesus. In fact, Jesus said about himself in John 10, 3 and 4, "To him the doorkeeper opens the sheep, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he puts forth his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because the sheep know his voice." Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." When the day's grazing was complete, the shepherd's done with the grazing, and now he's taking them to the protective fold. As the night was approaching, the shepherd would gather his sheep and lead them into this barrier. And sometimes it was just a crude makeshift of sticks or tumbleweeds or rocks or even blocks to make it about 4 to 5 feet high to guard from lions and bears and wolves and robbers who would try to come into the sheep and steal one of the lambs or one of the sheep away. It was a safe little fortress. But always, this semicircle, they would have one end, there was no block, no barrier. The shepherd would take his place at the door, the gateway. He would be the physical barrier, the protectiveness of his flock. In fact, Jesus said in John 10, 1 and 2, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door, the way in, into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters through the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Jesus said, "I am the doorway." He was the protective barrier. So the sheep, this is a miniature model, by the way, the sheep would enter into this protective barrier. Jesus says, "I'm the door. I'm the protection for this flock." The shepherd would literally lay in front of the doorway to guard if any animal tried to get in to get the sheep or any thief, they would have to cross over the shepherd. And so many times we see in scriptures where the shepherd would have to fight the bear or the lion or the wolf or the thief to keep the sheep protected. And that's exactly what David is talking about from firsthand experience, as he would protect his sheep. Bears, wolves, lions, robbers. We know that the shepherd, who was the doorway, would literally lay down his life for his sheep, John 10, 11. In fact, in 1 Samuel 17, 34, David, remembering that, he writes this. He says, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized it by the beard and I struck it and killed it." David knew about the protectiveness of a shepherd. He did it numerous times successfully. But then we think about Jesus, our good shepherd. In John 10, 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Do you realize Jesus was our door? He says, "I am the door. I am the shepherd. And I will lay my life down for you." In fact, he did. He accomplished laying down his life for us, his sheep, his children. He loves us. He cares so much for you that he died for you, literally. Here's just a little rabbit trail historical note. The city of Bethlehem, where David was born, his father Jesse was born there, is called the city of David because they were both shepherds. Jesse was a shepherd, then his son David became a shepherd. And so for 1,000 years, the shepherds in Bethlehem, they would raise the lambs for the Passover feast every year, 1,000 years. Now, isn't it fitting that God in his wisdom in Micah 5, 2 said, he chose the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, to be born in Bethlehem, the city of the shepherds, the city of David, because Jesus is our great shepherd. Fitting. Hey, there's three applications that I want you to take away with today, three key ones. You might remember many different things from this message, but these are the three that are very, very important that I want you to take away. Number one is, Jesus is our great shepherd. He wants to be your great shepherd. He wants to lovingly care for you, guide you, protect you, nurture you, heal, and provide for you. Secondly, you can trust the great shepherd. He laid down his life for you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And even in the times of turmoil and darkness and troubles and trials and tribulations we go through in life, some of the pains and agonies we struggle with, we can trust in the great shepherd who will lead us safely home. And third is, I want you to remember that you have an eternal hope with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. Those are important applications. So now we're going to look at the marks of a great shepherd. The first one is this. The first mark of a great shepherd we see in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that really mean? Here's the Living Bible translation. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He is a great provider, and it's a blessing of provision. David was content. He was confident in the abundance of life's provision and blessing that God has graciously given to him. As a matter of fact, everything David had and everything David ever would have had been graciously given by the Lord God. And that's true with us today. Everything we have or everything we will have is graciously provided. The very breath in our lungs, the very blood that pulsates through our body has been graciously provided by our Lord, our Savior, our great shepherd. The same way the shepherd provided for the sheep to care for them daily, he led them to green pastures, he led them to clear waters, he protected them, he healed them, he carried them in time of distress. The same way the shepherd provided for the sheep, so God provides for us. In fact, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:3. Let me ask you this. Have you recognized in your life the blessings that God has bestowed upon you and your family? It doesn't take long to have to figure that one out. Everything we have, everything he's allowed us to have, our very families, our homes, our jobs, everything he has provided. We are to be grateful and give him thanks. I remember a few years ago, Monroe Bartel is a dear brother, and he said, hey, you want to go to the Boundary Waters the Boundary Waters canoe area? And it's beautiful. It's in northern Minnesota. It's pristine. And he wanted to guide himself, myself, Eric Hoff, and Josh Brown. We were going to go with two canoes, and we were going to go to the Boundary Waters for 6 days. Well, Monroe's been going there for decades. He knows the trails. He knows the lakes very, very well. In essence, Monroe was our shepherd. We trusted him. I haven't been to those lakes that he was going to. I didn't know the trails, the paths, the dangers, the greenest pastures, the quietest, most pure waters. But Monroe did. And so we gathered up our canoes on top of our heads. We started down this trail. We didn't know where we were going, but guess who was out front? Our shepherd, Monroe. He took us right to the edge, to the end of the trail, where we got onto this pristine, beautiful, crystal clear lake. And Eric and I and Josh, we followed him. And he would keep us from some of the dangerous places. He knew where the rocks were in the water. He knew where the turbulent water was, and he kept us away from there. And then as we went paddled on three different lakes, we ended up at Eagle Lake, where we were going to set up our camp and rest, be restored for 6 days. We set up camp in this beautiful green grass right by the beautiful lake, and it was crystal clear. It was 70 degrees. The sky was crystal blue. It was so beautiful. It was so tranquil. For 6 days, we sat there. We fished. We were on this nice, quiet waters. But what drew us into the connection with God was, as Pastor Jonas spoke last week about Psalm 8, God's creation, the trees, the moose, the eagles flying above, the beauty of the tranquil waters. We relished it in. But what drew us really closely to the connection with God was that it restored our souls. Sometimes the hecticness of everyday life, we get so busy that we sometimes stop to reflect on God's majesty, marvel at his glory, at his creation. Have you ever been in a spiritual desert, in a wilderness, and you just desired to have your soul revived? You were craving the thirst of spiritual waters, craving that spiritual food. And in the quietness of the Boundary Waters, we had our hearts restored. We came out of there 6 days. We were so pumped and spiritually restored to that place of saying, thank you, Lord God. You are our shepherd. You brought us to that place of tranquility in our lives. Mark, the second mark of a great shepherd is a great leader. It's a blessing of nourishment and refreshment. He says, he makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet waters. What does that mean? David, as a shepherd, were guiding his flocks through the Judean wilderness close to Bethlehem, this desert region. And so David knew the right pathways to go to the green pastures for his sheep to feed on, the nourishment that they needed. But also, did you know that sheep do not like turbulent water? They don't like fast-moving water. They're afraid of it. So David would know those places where the nice pools would collect and it would be nice and calm. Yes, it's flowing because it's not stagnant, but yet it was nice and flowing smoothly so the sheep would refresh themselves with that clear water. David knew those things. He knew the terrain firsthand. David, as a shepherd, would have known where the best feeding pastures were and the best waters were for his sheep. See, the shepherd had to travel those ways first before he would lead his sheep there. Think about it. Our great shepherd, Jesus Christ, has traveled through the life as a man, fully God, fully man. He traveled as a man. He faced the same toils that we faced, the same hardships, the same tragedies, the same types of mourning and harshness and difficulties and tribulations of life. He's walked our path. He knows what we go through. And so that way he can safely guide us on our daily life and direction. He knows our inner souls. He knows we need rest. He knows we need spiritual refreshment. He knows we need care. He knows we need the peaceful waters of spiritual reviving. The Lord knows your spiritual refreshment of his word that he needs, and sometimes we just desire it and we don't realize, and the shepherd leads us to that time of refreshment. The quenching of our spiritual thirst that our souls sometimes just crave it. Maybe you're in that place today. Maybe just to get away for a day of silence and solitude. Be in the nourishment of the word so the Lord can refresh you and restore you. The third mark of a great shepherd is a great restorer. It's a blessing of healing. Has anybody ever been injured or hurt spiritually? And you need deep inner spiritual healing? The Lord is there. Sometimes physical healing as well. The Lord David is saying, the Lord is my great healer. God healed David's heart time and time again, restored his soul. We know how many times that David went through so many difficulties and so many challenges throughout his whole life. But he relied upon the great shepherd to help him during those times. In verse 3 says, he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Has life been hard? Maybe life's difficult right now. Have you been, or are you currently spiritually immersed in very difficult spiritual struggles, maybe even possibly some spiritual warfare? Are you weary right now? You just need the refreshment of the Lord to come alongside of you, sometimes even to carry the sheep on his shoulders. When we can't go another step, I can't go another day. Lord, help me. Carry me during these difficult times. That's what David is saying. Lord, you're my healer spiritually. Help me. Guide me. It is so hard to even want to live this life. Sometimes it's so difficult. Our great shepherd and king, the Lord Jesus Christ, desires for you to seek him for spiritual healing. Last October, November, I was in Nepal for a month. We were on a medical team, but also an evangelism team. And we were traveling for a month there with my wife, Susan. And the last week of our time in Nepal, my wife was having some terrible neurological problems. She was very scared. She was frightened. She was very anxious. When we came back to America, she got an MRI and went to neurologists, and they said, we hate to tell you this, but you have multiple sclerosis. You have MS. She was in depression. She was scared. She was just so anxious. What does this mean for the rest of my life? Am I going to be laid up? Am I going to be able to walk? What does this mean? And her soul was agitated. And for several months, we daily were on our knees saying, Lord God, we can't carry this burden, but you can for us. Help us. Heal her spiritually. And he did. But that's what God wants to do. He says, listen, Philippians 4:6, don't worry, don't be anxious about anything, but everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to our God, and he will give you peace that transcends all understanding. In other words, people will see you in the midst of turmoil and say, how can you have peace in the midst of the storm in your life? I will give you peace that goes beyond all comprehension. I will guard your minds. I will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. And that's what God promises to do for us. We need to rely on the great shepherd. The fourth mark of a great shepherd is a great guide, a great equipper. It's a blessing of guiding on the right pathway. The good shepherd knows the right pathways. Why? Because he's been on them first. He knows the dangers. He knows the toils. And so he can safely guide the sheep home. That's verse 4. So even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And so the shepherd knows the pathway. But sometimes, as sheep, don't we wander off the pathway? Don't we sometimes say, hey, this looks good over here? It's like the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, and the sheep wander to go chase that. Maybe it's worldly things that we're chasing. And so what does the shepherd do? The shepherd goes, looks for that wayward sheep, that one that's going astray. See, here's the path of righteousness that God has us on. He wants us to follow it because he knows what's best for us. He knows it's safety because he guides us there. But as sheep, all of us, as Jesus said, have gone astray. And so pretty much we're wandering away on the paths, away from righteousness. And what does the shepherd do? He comes with a staff and he finds the sheep and he nudges them with a staff and nudges them back and gets them back onto that path of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. What does that mean? It means that you and you and you and you and me that follow Jesus, see, we give glory to God through our lives. We lead people to Christ. We are the image of God. We're supposed to be anyway, for those in the world to see that we live differently. And people say, you are different. I want what you have. Ambassadors of Jesus to the world. And so we give glory to lives through God through our lives. And so God says, come sheep. Come back. I want to lead you back on that path of righteousness so that you can give glory to me, to others in the world. In fact, let's look at Luke 15:4 just for a minute. 15:4 through 6. What man among you, and this is Jesus, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, carrying it, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost. Sometimes we just get lost in life. And the shepherd brings us back to the paths of righteousness. Let's look at another mark, the fifth mark. It's a great protector, is verse 4. A blessing is sovereign care. David found himself on the precipice of danger many times in the valley of shadow of death. In the Judean wilderness, there's many cliffs. It's very rocky soil. And as he's taking his flocks through there, sometimes the sheep are right on the precipice of falling off the cliff and injuring or killing themselves. Death was always around him. But also think about this. Do you remember when David, he hid in the Judean wilderness as King Saul was always chasing him to find him and kill him? Do you remember that? So David would have remembered that. Always in the shadow of death, at any time, King Saul was going to catch up with him and have him executed. And yet also the sheep. So David would lead the sheep through this dangerous, the wadis and the canyons in the Judean wilderness and leading them to safety. He had to care for them. And so even in the shadow of death, we don't have to fear because the great shepherd is guiding us on that path. Last weekend, as I said, our dear sister in the Lord, Pat Gwynn, she passed away. Now, it's interesting. At the hospital, the doctor said, hey, we can do this procedure around your heart, remove the water. She had water around her heart, and it was causing her not to be able to breathe. But they said, we can't promise you're going to live much more than a month or so. And she said, no, I don't want the operation. She goes, I am confident in my relationship with my Lord. I want to see my master, Jesus, face to face. I want to go home. He said, well, if you don't do this procedure, you're going to die today. She goes, I want to go home. I'm confident. See, Jesus, she had no fear, no fear of death. She wanted to be led home to her Savior. That's the confidence God gives us that the world doesn't understand. People are so fearful of death because they don't know what death is after that. They don't know where they're going to go or what they're going to do. But we who know God, we who have a great shepherd knows he's going to safely get us home. And that's what David's saying. He's going to safely get us to that place. David did not fear because death, he knew God's sovereign protection was over him his entire life. Even when David faced certain death, he did not fear it because he knew the great shepherd was caring and providing for him. God never loses one of his sheep. Not one of them will ever be lost. They will be headed straight to the fold on the other side of glory and the shore of heaven. We know that. Think about the powerful images. You were talking about images. When you have the TV on and you turn on and you see the ISIS terrorists in Syria, Iraq, and even in Egypt, Libya, and you see the images of them with people that are bound behind their, and they're leading them, and then they're making them all kneel down. And all these Christians are there, and there's a person behind every one of them ready to execute them. That's not a pretty picture. But the image is this. These Christians, these Coptic Christians from Egypt and the Christians in Syria and Iraq, they know that they're going to die, but yet they still know and trust in their Savior, Jesus Christ. They don't say, oh, please don't. I won't be a Christian anymore. I'll turn to Muhammad. But they don't do that. And so it's boldness and confidence that they have that they're going to meet their Maker. They're going to meet their Savior. They're going to meet the Great Shepherd in heaven. The sixth mark of a great shepherd is a great host. It's a blessing of provision. David changes his thoughts from the shepherd of the Lord to now God, the great divine host. What David is saying this. David's saying, the Lord is my host. He's invited me into his house. He's spreading out this incredible banquet for me to feast on. He's blessing him. And he's saying, come, eat at my table of divine blessing. Even in front of my enemies, God has taken care of me. He's blessed me. He is my provider and my provision. It's talking about the lavish hospitality that God invites all of us to come and partake of. In his divine providential grace, God continually invites his children to the banquet table of grace to feed us with a lavish spiritual feast. And then he says, he anoints my head with oil. The biblical imagery here of anointing always associated with blessing, with refreshing, with serving one another. So God is blessing him and refreshing him and serving him. In David's psalm, he is emphasizing the host is graciously welcoming him into his home. The Lord Jesus Christ deeply desires to welcome you and me, to bless us daily. Our cups flowing over means the abundance that God wants to provide for us if we allow him to. And then the seventh mark of a great shepherd is verse 6. It's a great promise of God. It's eternal hope, a blessing of unfailing eternal hope and love. David realized the great shepherd would never fail to offer his hesed, which is the Hebrew word for love. It's sacrificial, unconditional love. Can never be broken. His hesed love. The great love of all the days of David's life, God had loved him and cared for him and taken care of him. So David's experienced God's unfailing love and care no matter what circumstances he found himself in. And sometimes he found himself in some terrible circumstances. So David concluded this unfailing love saying, I have eternal hope and I am confident. And this is my song of confidence, the 23rd Psalm. And so folks, today we can say this confidently. We serve a great shepherd who wants to lovingly lead you, guide you, protect you, provide for you, feed you, give you spiritual healing and the provision that we all desire to have every day in our life. In conclusion, there are four main things that I want to share with you. One is, have you surrendered to this great shepherd? Do you know Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? To know for sure He is shepherding you for the rest of your life, and the great eternal hope that we know we will be with Him forever in His flock. Are you longing to be led out of the wilderness? Maybe you're in a spiritual desert right now. And you say, I just long to have my heart restored, my soul restored. I want to be refreshed with the Word of God and with the spiritual healing, the quenching of my spiritual thirst. Lord God, I don't want to be in this desert. It's turn to our Lord. You can trust Him to restore your soul. If you're dealing with trials and troubles and hurts and pains and tribulations, bad news, you need the healing of the great shepherd to come alongside of you, to carry you if necessary, to give you peace that goes beyond all comprehension, to guide you, to take you to those green pastures and those cool, quiet waters to restore your soul. And fourth is your eternal hope. Do you have eternal hope today in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Would you stand with me as we close? Lord Jesus Christ, You are our shepherd. Thank You for Your blessing. Thank You for Your sacrifice. Thank You for laying down Your life for this flock, for me. Lord, we are so grateful for the blessings You bestow upon it, Your provision. You lead us. You guide us. You take us down the paths of righteousness. And when we wander, Lord, You bring us back that we may give You glory through our lives. That's the whole purpose. Lord, thank You for knowing that we can trust You 24/7, no matter what situation we're dealing with. We can open our mouths and pray to You and say, Lord God, I can't take much more. Help me. Guide me. You restore our souls. You give us rest and peace in You. Even if we face death, we know, Lord God, we do not need to fear because You are with us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. Lord, maybe there's possibly somebody today that's really struggling with hurt or pain or bad news or illness, whatever it may be. Lord God, please carry them during this difficult time. Sometimes it hurts even to live life. And when we get bad news, Lord, we just need to depend upon You, fall to our knees and say, God, I can't deal with this. You must help me the way we would help an injured lamb or sheep to carry them. You want to carry us. And Lord, for maybe there's somebody today that really hasn't trusted You personally as Savior. And so they're not of our fold. They're not part of the sheep that, Lord, that hear Your voice. And You say, those sheep, My sheep hear My voice and they know Me. But Lord, there's sometimes where people don't hear Your voice because they don't know You. And for there's anybody like that today, the Lord wants to be your shepherd. Just say, Lord God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I have fallen. I'm sinful. Please, Lord God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me the commission of sin, omissions of sin. I repent, Lord God. I want to trust You as my Lord and Savior, and I'm asking that now. And the Lord Jesus Christ will gratefully to say, yes, I want to take You as my child, but as my sheep. I will care for You. I will provide, and I will give You eternal life. Lord, today, on Memorial Day weekend, I pray for every person in this room. Lord, I pray that You bless them mightily. May the Holy Spirit use them in a powerful way for Your kingdom. May they be the ambassadors, the men and the women, the wives, the husbands, the children, the students that You desire them to be, to proclaim Your name, Your majesty, and marvel at Your handiwork. For You are our great shepherd, and You care for us, and we are Your flock. So use us, guide us, and direct us to where You desire us to be in this life, that we may give glory to You in everything we do, think, and say. And all God's people said, amen. Please have a blessed weekend. Thank you for worshiping with us today.